Hello and welcome to the August 6th meeting of the Rancho Santa Margarita City Planning Commission meeting. I will call this meeting to order. We will lead things off with the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Persiani, would you do us the pleasure of leading us?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Chair Camulia.
Present.
Vice Chair Nelson.
Present.
Commissioner Bastian. Commissioner Persiani.
Present.
Commissioner Sneeders.
That leads us to item one, presentations and proclamations. Seeing none, we'll move to item two, schedule of future events. Ms. Kuda.
Thank you, Chair Camulia. We have one summer concert left in the series. It will be this Sunday, August 10th, featuring Spin Town. And similar to the first concert of the season, we'll have the Dreamers Market as well. We hope to see you all there. Also, we would like to announce the Labor Day holiday. The City Hall will be closed on Monday, September 1st. Thank you.
Thank you. That moves us to item three, public comment. This is the time to address the Planning Commission on any matter not listed on this agenda that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. Do we have any public comments?
We do not have any public comments.
Noting that, we will move now to item four, regular meeting minutes of the July 2nd, 2025 Planning Commission meeting. I will entertain a motion.
I'll move the minutes.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second by Mr. Persiani. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That item carries. We will move now to item five, public hearing items. Item 5.1, continued public hearing for zoning code text amendment 25-001, an ordinance amending the Rancho Santa Margarita Municipal Code to update and clarify regulations related to accessory dwelling units and junior accessory dwelling units in accordance with state law. Ms. Kuda?
Thank you again, Chair Camulia. This item is a continued public hearing. We don't have those very often, so I'm just going to go over kind of the basics of what the continued public hearing means. As you are aware, we had a noticed public hearing scheduled for July 2nd. That same day, we received a letter from a housing advocacy group called CalHDF, which pointed out what they considered to be flaws in our ordinance and recommended that we look at some things before taking it forward. Because of the late hour of that letter, we recommended to the Planning Commission to continue the item. You opened the public hearing, offered public testimony. There was none. Closed the public hearing again, and then we continued to a date certain. By continuing it to today, the date certain, we didn't have to do any additional public noticing. The comment letter has been included in your packet. We did meet with the folks writing the letter on July 8th. Our assistant city attorney, Wendy Starks, and myself. Our primary takeaway from that meeting was that they wanted to see certain treatment and clarification of what's known as state-exempt ADUs, and I'll talk about those a little bit more in a minute. So when we posted the packet on Friday, I sent an email to the gentleman that we met with. He took a look at the ordinance and said it looked great and thanked us for making the changes. So we did not receive any follow-up letters from them. So just backing up a little bit now, for kind of going a little further back with background, so the state has long considered accessory dwelling units to be an opportunity to provide affordable housing in existing single-family neighborhoods. Beginning in 2002, the state legislature started passing a number of bills aimed at making the development of ADUs easier. There's been subsequent legislation for nearly every legislative cycle since 2002. The last time the Rancho Santa Margarita zoning code was updated was 2023 to comply with the then current state law. additional legislation was passed during the last couple of legislative sessions. And additionally, we did send our 2023 ordinance to the California Department of Housing and Community Development, or HCD, as required by state law. And they have sent us a letter, which is also in your packet, where they found us to be a little bit inconsistent with current state law. So the ordinance covers the types of ADUs, which are the types of them seem to expand almost every legislative session: attached, detached, converted, and junior ADUs. We'll also talk again about those state-exempt ADUs. The ordinance has development standards such as setback height, parking, size. When we can apply those pursuant to state law, that's what the ordinance is designed to do. State law has pretty strict time limits for city review. Those are built into this ordinance. And then owner-occupied, meaning that an owner of the property occupies either the accessory dwelling unit or the primary dwelling unit. We can apply that in certain cases. That's something that's done in this ordinance. And then short-term rentals. So we used to, our current ordinance prohibits the use of ADUs and JADUs as short-term rentals, because short-term rentals are not necessarily housing stock. If we're looking for ways to provide additional housing, short-term rentals are not that. Recent changes in state law say that we cannot have that restriction on junior ADUs, so we do have to allow short-term rental of JADUs. This slide seems to expand every time we bring back an ordinance to you. So I mentioned earlier the four general types of accessory dwelling units: attached, detached, converted, and junior. The state exempt ADUs are four specific types listed here on the bullet points, and those require ministerial approval, and they limit the types of development standards that the city can impose. So these are important to, for example, the advocacy group that we met with, because they are they're kind of the path of least resistance to building ADUs, and they really have gained a lot of support in recent years. So this particular update, we're updating some government code numbering. So some of the most recent legislation changed the sections of the government code which are referenced. So you'll see in the ordinance where we say, you know, pursuant to government code section XYZ, those have all been renewed and revised with current references. We, again, talk about state-exempt ADUs and JADUs. We discuss there's some recent changes in the interpretations of the maximum number of ADUs and JADUs per lot. Recent state law has reduced or eliminated requirements for off-street parking and replacement parking. So one thing that we do in this ordinance is we make sure that where we can apply a parking standard, we do. Where we can't, but we do want those standards to be available when that opportunity is provided by state law. And then, as I mentioned before, state law requires that we allow short-term rental of junior ADUs. So that was a very broad overview. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have on the specifics of the ordinance. Our recommendation tonight is to adopt the resolution in your packet that recommends that the City Council adopt the ordinance. Next steps would be we'll take the ordinance to the City Council for a public hearing. They'll introduce for first reading, conduct that public hearing. There'll be a second reading and a subsequent meeting, and then the ordinance would be effective 30 days after that. And this text box here just shows the title of the ordinance that we are proposing. So that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions of staff? Starting to my left.
My question is related strictly to the parking. And so you mentioned that there's applying the standards for the parking where we're able to. It seems as though actually that we by ADUs we actually lose parking if there's an ADU that's put on the property, especially like if a garage is demolished because let's say the ADU is put in the place of those parking spaces. So the two-car garage was now an ADU. Do we have the parking capacity in the neighborhoods to be able to allow for additional vehicles. So in that case, it'd be two to be able to weather these kinds of buildings that are being placed on these properties.
Yeah, that's an argument that's been made kind of statewide with the erosion of the abilities of city to require replacement parking. So earlier iterations of this ordinance, probably 6 or 7 years ago, we required replacement parking. If you convert your garage, you need to find another place to provide covered parking because our zoning code requires covered parking for all residential single-family units. And that has slowly been eroded. And so that is an argument that homeowner associations, for example, make against allowing accessory dwelling units.
Yeah. And I would also argue that it's actually a safety issue, too. If you have more cars on the street, there's less ability for emergency vehicles to get through on a street because there's more streets more cars on the street. So that's my only concern. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm going to not support the resolution, but just wanted to have that on the record that that's my largest concern over the adoption of it.
We'll have commissioner deliberation on six.
I
had a question. This California Housing Defense Fund, CalHDF, who are they? Are they a nonprofit? Are they funded by the state in any capacity?
They are a nonprofit. They are based in the Bay Area, but they do advocate for affordable housing and accessory dwelling units statewide.
Statewide, clearly. When we met with them, did they indicate that our proposed amendments were sufficient to their liking?
I emailed the folks that we met with when the packet was published so that they could take a look, and their email back to me said, we looked at the proposed ordinance and it looks good to us, with an exclamation point.
An exclamation point.
Thanks so much for making those changes. So careful. They did mention when we spoke with them that they have been looking at all up and down the state accessory dwelling unit ordinances, and that they've had about 25 other cities that have made changes to their ordinances in response to their letters.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I would actually just follow up on your question. I'm curious how for a nonprofit, where's the regulatory authority there?
Doesn't have it.
It's a public comment. We would treat it like any other public comment. So there's no, it's just they're pointing out what they think are flaws in our ordinance. And if they've pointed those out in the public hearing process, they then have the ability to file a lawsuit to compel the city to change the ordinance. That's
okay.
Do you have other?
But there's been state agencies that agree with this, I assume, and know they're on the right track since they've done it so many times to other cities. I take it. Well,
through the chair, if I may, the one thing I would add to this piece of the conversation is that we don't necessarily disagree with the comments being made by this organization. Our ordinance all along has acknowledged that we would comply with all applicable state law in terms of permitting or approving ADUs. I think what they were asking for from the city, or what they were hoping to see, was just a more express statement. All along, our ordinance has said that we would comply, again, with all applicable ADU laws. So it wasn't, from the perspective of staff, we haven't given anything that we weren't already extending to every applicant who came to the city. It was just, from their perspective, hoping that we could make some of that language more express. Which is what we've done with the recent changes.
And to clarify, we didn't have discretion in the first place, right? It is state law.
Correct. Which, so if an applicant...
We're talking about semantics, right?
It really is, because okay. if the planning department received an application that complied with the requirements for these exempt ADUs, they would have been processed accordingly. We would have never suggested that that was not the case in
yes.
the city.
Thank you.
Their oversight is implied in their name, Defense Fund.
Right. Perfect. Makes sense.
Any other questions of staff? I'll go ahead now and open the continued public hearing and receive public testimony. Do we have any public comments?
No, we do not.
All right. Seeing no public comments, I will go ahead now and close the public hearing and open it now to commission discussion and deliberation.
I'm just going to concur with Mr. Persiani on the parking. That would just be you're on. Am I not on? Oh, I am. Is this better?
Yes.
I was just going to concur with the parking, that would be a concern, I guess, you know, as to why. Because is there not supposed to be something coming up where they're trying to see how to reduce parking on the streets? The public streets? Or am I?
I'm not aware of any of that.
All right.
No.
So that's just mine.
I'll chime in just with regard specifically to the parking issue. It's been, we've brought it up multiple times as these ADU ordinances continue to come by us. And I'll just call out that we as a commission are required to make a finding of general welfare that, you know, that these rules are in compliance with what we say they are, and public safety being one of them. And so when I've pressed staff in the past about how do we make that finding, right, the answer, and it's written right there, the answer is because the state says it is. Right. That's the answer. State law says it is, therefore it is within conformance, and it is safe for the public.
Exactly. So. Last few years, I know we've been down this road many times before when it comes to making adjustments due to state law, right? Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. It's just, you know,
yeah.
Another voice.
It's unbelievable. So,
yep. Can you anything? No.
I've got a comment. Just in summation, I think it might. I'll speak for myself. As a planning commissioner, you know, I take seriously our responsibility to thoughtfully guide the growth and character of our city. Unfortunately, the legislature continues to preempt local zoning authority, leaving commissions like ours with little discretion to make decisions that reflect the unique needs and priorities of our own residents. While I will vote to approve these amendments to keep our city in compliance and avoid penalties and lawsuits, I want to make clear that today's decisions are the result of Sacramento continuing to dictate land use policy from the top down, which I believe is a troubling trend that seeks to erode the principle of local control and diminish our ability to responsibly plan for the future of our own neighborhoods. Our local communities deserve a voice in shaping their own future and how they develop, and I urge state leaders to restore meaningful decision-making authority to local governments. That's my comments.
I concur.
Well said.
Well said. That, thank you.
I will entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to adopt the resolution as drafted.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Item carries. Moving now to item 2, zoning code text amendment 25-002, addressing regulations for thrift stores and adding child daycare centers as a conditionally permitted use in the public quasi-public zoning district. Ms. Kuda?
Thank you again, Chair Camilli and members of the Planning Commission. This is a fairly simple zoning code text amendment. I will go over the two items that you just read in the introduction. So for background, as staff, we are continually evaluating the zoning code for usability, internal consistency, and compliance with state law, as we've just discussed. This proposed zoning code text amendment is a result of us uncovering some unintended barriers for childcare uses and for to ensure compliance with state law, recent state law regarding thrift stores. It's a targeted update, and it addresses only those two fairly unrelated issues. So a little more background. So when we're asked if a use is allowed in a zone, so a new business owner calls and says, can I do a doggy daycare in the commercial district? We would look at our tables. All of the tables, each zoning district has a table called uses in the blank district. So this example on the screen is uses in commercial districts. We can see here that a doggy daycare or animal daycare would be a conditionally permitted use in the commercial general or commercial neighborhood. So that's how our zoning code works. Each and every one of these use tables has a footnote which reads, unless a use is specifically identified, it is not permitted in the district. So that means if daycare, for example, isn't listed in this table, it is a prohibited use in that district. So for child daycare centers, our code defines child daycare centers. That definition is shown here. It's a fairly, you know, familiar to all of us that have used daycare. It is allowed with a conditional use permit in residential, commercial, and mixed use zones. It is not a listed use in the public quasi-public zone. The public quasi-public zone is intended for public serving uses. The allowed uses there include schools, churches, public utility structures, and City Hall is in the, we call it the PQ zone. So schools and adult daycare are listed uses. Child daycare center is not. But there are several daycare centers currently operating that were in place before the zoning code was created in 2007. So in my opinion, it was an unintended omission at that time, and we just need to correct it at this point. This slide shows it's a pretty simple insertion into the code. We take the table 9.03.8, which is uses in the PQ zone, and we add it with a C, which means it's a conditionally permitted use. Also, I just thought it was useful to include this graphic. This is also in your packet. The blue properties are the public quasi-public zone properties, and there are three child care centers here that obviously have been in place for a very long time.
Would the bell tower be considered one with the Boys and Girls Club?
That is a youth recreation program.
Okay.
So we haven't characterized that as child daycare, and it doesn't.
Yeah. I just wondered if it was missing from the chart, but that makes sense. Sorry, continue.
No problem. So moving on to thrift stores. So the zoning code currently has a definition for secondhand stores, which I have here. But it's not listed as a permitted or conditionally permitted use in any district. Therefore, thrift stores are technically prohibited in the city. We've had a couple of inquiries and for secondhand stores, and we've had to tell them that they were prohibited and couldn't come into the city. Last year, the legislature passed AB 2632, which became effective on January 1st of this year, and it prohibits cities from treating a thrift store different from a general retail store. It does allow some operational standards, primarily to address the collection and receipt of donated used goods. So we're proposing to delete the secondhand store definition and replace it with the state definition of thrift store. That's in your packet. We can go over that if you'd like. And then we would allow thrift stores in commercial general and commercial neighborhood zones subject to certain operational standards. So they wouldn't require a conditional use permit because state law doesn't allow that. They would be a permitted use. But we would add a new section in our special uses and standards section 9.04 to deal with the operational standards. And I have those listed here. These are all similar to what is listed in state law, where we are regulating the delivery and storage of donations. We want them done entirely indoors, only during business hours. We don't want illegally dumped items. We want there to be a good vehicular circulation plan for drop-off of donations, and we want all the signs to comply with our zoning code. So again, this is a pretty simple insertion into the uses in commercial districts table 9.03.4, but we would also have in the notes and exceptions standards a reference back to these operational standards that you see here. So again, that was a brief overview. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. Staff's recommendation on this item is similar to the prior item, where we are asking that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution recommending approval of the ordinance. Again, we'll take that to City Council for review in September. They'll do a public hearing and first reading, conduct a second reading at a subsequent meeting, and the ordinance would be effective 30 days later. So that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of staff? I just had one, which was related to the child care center. Was there an applicant that was seeking to move in that was being denied because of this?
Luckily, no. But we've had some inquiries about the empty child care center at the former Methodist church. And when we went to look it up in the zoning and give them some zoning confirmation information, it's kind of when this came to light for us.
Okay, thank you. All right, I will go ahead and open the public hearing. Do we have any public comments?
There are no public comments.
All right, hearing that there are no public comments, I will move to close the public hearing. And now I will open it up to commission discussion and deliberation. I'll just reiterate previous comments. You know, while I don't necessarily disagree with the intent of the legislation with regard to thrift stores, you know, flat out prohibitions by the state, and just this is just one more example of the state legislature, you know, usurping local control and dictating local zoning decisions. And so for that, I just really take issue, and we'll put that out there.
I agree.
I will entertain a motion. I'll move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Item carries. We will now move to item six, new business. Is there any new business?
There's none this evening.
Seeing none. Okay, then we will move to other reports. I don't see any other reports listed. We'll move to item eight, matters presented by planning commissioners. Do we have any?
None for me.
No.
Okay. All right, then I will go ahead and move to adjourn. It doesn't need a motion, just kidding. I will just adjourn. The next regular meeting of the planning commission will be held Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025 at 6:30 p.m. in the council chambers. With that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.